So we are stepping through the Lord's Prayer that is in ready. We're stepping through the Lord's Prayer. This is, I believe, the sixth in the series, and we find ourselves in Matthew 6, verse 12. Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you for the great privilege that we have to have Jesus' words in front of us. He exhorts us to pray. We thank you that we may do so in this unusual fashion. We thank you that he has exhorted us to pray and given us a pattern to pray. We thank you that he has come and not only taught but died for sinners. We do pray that you would open up your word to us this evening. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So the Lord's Prayer is very well known to pretty much everyone who was born in this country, certainly. And this phrase of it is an unusual one for us. In that it requests something of God that has a little feedback loop to it. Matthew 6, verse 12 says, "And forgive us our debts," the request, "as we forgive our debtors." Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So, there is a command here from the Lord Jesus that we pray asking for forgiveness, but it says that as we pray, we must be in a particular position. The first thing that we should notice in this is that God is forgiving, that God is forgiving. We might think that this is a given, but it is certainly not so. God is, as the scriptures say, God is in heaven. The writer to the Ecclesiastes says, God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. In other words, think before you come to him in any fashion, whatever. Think what ground you have to approach him. By what means do you approach God Almighty? They say there are no atheists in foxholes. We in our great need at times just blurt out our need. And here we find that the Lord Jesus commands that we ask for forgiveness. This then shows us that God does forgive. How does he do that? Well, certainly the coming of Jesus shows us that he forgives by means of the person and the life and death of his son. Not just that he was a great and good person. He certainly was that. Not just that he showed us how to live. He did that. Not just that he died to show us that he hates sin. He certainly did that. But that he died in the place of sinners. And so he, from the time of his baptism on, he speaks of the baptism with which he would be baptized. And he speaks of this after he was baptized. The baptism with which he would be baptized was his death. And his death for sinners. He says Later in the 20th chapter of the book of Matthew, he says, the Son of Man came to be served, but not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom. He came to purchase sinners, to take their sins on himself. And so thus he says here in advance, he says, that we may and ought and must pray for forgiveness. And that forgiveness then is because of in the Lord Jesus himself. That's why we can come, is because of the Lord Jesus. Secondly, not only may we ask for forgiveness and must we ask for forgiveness, but just from the things that I've been saying, it's very clear that forgiveness is a miracle. It's not some words that I say to God, and now poof, I'm all better. That's true person to person, and that's true with Almighty God. But as Jesus says, ask, ask. We must come. We must come. We can't just presume on forgiveness. Jesus says, here, ask, forgive me my sins. Do you notice the hugeness of the thing that's being asked for? I have directly affronted Almighty God. I come to him hat in hand, as it were. There's nothing I can do to undo. I say, forgive, would you please? Just as if I had, you know, affronted someone, and I just say, excuse me. We must come. So forgiveness is not an atmosphere. It's not a given. With a broken relationship, it must be asked for. And so the Lord Jesus says to come and to ask. What a stupendous thing. Thirdly, Jesus says, forgive, that we ought to ask for forgiveness as we ourselves forgive. And so for the third thing to note, forgiveness is an action of one who has been forgiven. So it's not as if I can gather up all my forgiveness and offer it to God and say, please forgive me. It doesn't work that way. The one who has prior asked God for forgiveness and knows that he is forgiven unilaterally because God is a forgiving God, having that forgiveness in his heart, he forgives. And then in an ongoing way, he comes back. Now, notice what this is presuming, that the one who has been forgiven is not forgiven and never sins again. He continues to affront God and has to come back, as I said, hat in hand, humbly. And say it again, this is an integral part of the relationship with Almighty God. It's not a one-time statement. It's not a one-time ask. It's just like you don't go to the grocery store once. You don't ask God once for forgiveness. Jesus says, forgive me. You ask in an ongoing fashion. But there certainly is an initial ask. And the initial ask is the momentous one. And from that, there is a change of heart from which the ability, so to speak, to forgive others comes and flows. And from then on, this becomes a necessity. The first time you don't come to God, as I say, with your, well, look how many times I've forgiven others. Please forgive me. You don't do that. This is after that first time. The first time you just say, I'm a wicked sinner. Forgive me because of Christ. There is a humbling that occurs in the coming. And that humbling is shown by the ability to forgive others. And so when I come back the next time, I need to come back with real forgiveness and say, I'm forgiving others and I'm continuing to affront you. Please forgive me. But to come back with a hard heart is unacceptable. So having truly received forgiveness, we give forgiveness. And if not, then not. We haven't received. So we ask as receivers and as givers. There's a profound statement here. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us.